You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We are the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. Today will be a short show. I'm very busy on Tuesdays and Thursdays. That's why usually on Tuesdays and Thursdays we have a shorter show instead of the full hour, and because I have less time to prepare. Today there will be only one story I will be covering, and that is both the news conference and the meeting of the President of the United States, Barack Obama, with his European counterparts, namely the Merkel from Germany, Cameron from the United Kingdom, and we also have the French president. What was interesting, what they were doing, and this, I think, was spur of the moment. I mean, the impression I'm getting, it was not planned because several of the people were not aware of it. They actually did a war game simulation of a situation where there was a loose nuke. In other words, the setup is you had a terrorist that had a nuclear bomb, and they were going to, apparently, they didn't specify the city, but it was going to go off in one city. How would they react? Now, several of the people in that room said, well, I want my advisors in it, which is really a good idea. However, they didn't do it that way. They were to really respond. And I've been through some of these scenarios. I was in the military, but I've also had some other training where you have a setup like this and you need to respond. You have limits in terms of time. And it's really a way to make you think as to, for example, the type of information you need, and you're under a time constraint. And you usually have some films or videos to make it the situation real. Now, normally this is done in a war room situation. What it immediately reminded me of was a movie that came out 50 years ago, and actually two movies that came out 50 years ago, namely Dr. Strangelove, which was the comedy about a potential nuclear war between Russia and the United States. That was the, I would say, funnier of the movie. A dead serious movie was the movie Failsafe, in which a SAC bomber got through and bombed Moscow. And as a result, to avoid an all-out nuclear war, the President of the United States orders the destruction of New York City, namely the dropping of an atomic weapon on New York City. And I have some clips from those movies. If you go to my companion blog for this site, for this show, which is pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops.wordpress.com. And you'll have at the very top links to the most recent 50 to 60 shows, and at the very bottom a complete portfolio of all my shows. But in between you'll have some of the information that I looked at, that I prepared, one being, what if it's not New York City? What if it's Washington, D.C.? Because of the top targets, and I have a map, and Dallas-Fort Worth is one of them, you'll see the major metropolitan areas with circles around them, and obviously San Francisco, Los Angeles, Dallas-Fort Worth, Houston, San Antonio, as well as New York City, Boston, Washington, D.C., Chicago, are just some of the major cities that would be attacked, such as, for example, in Florida, we like Jacksonville, Miami, or some of the targets, as well as Denver, the Seattle area. All of those are the top targets, and these were the top 30 targets, and you can see the circles around them. And I also have right below that a bomb blast scenario, assuming a 10 kiloton nuclear bomb was detonated near the White House. Because I think, I asked a couple of people, I said, if you were a terrorist and had just one nuclear weapon, what city would you destroy? Well, it wasn't New York City. That might surprise some of you. It was Washington, D.C., and that was my choice. Because what you need to do, if you're thinking like a terrorist, you want to shake up the citizens of the United States. And the way you do it is you take out the leadership. You take out the president of the United States. You take out the command structure, namely the people in the Pentagon, as well as the people, the House and the Senate. So you, most of the people that are in line of succession, if the president got killed, would be killed as well. So it's really cutting off the head of the leadership of the country. So I don't think New York City, I think New York City would be second. That would be my second choice. But definitely Washington, D.C. seemed to be the preferred target. So I don't think the president should be worrying about New York City. I think he should be worrying about him surviving. Now, he might think he has a bomb shelter in the basement of the White House that's going to protect him. That's assuming he can get there. Because if they're, you know, they're not going to announce anything. That's why, ladies and gentlemen, I'm for the National Security Agency, because they are our eyes and ears in trying to prevent this to the extent that they do their job and catch it. They didn't catch 9/11. I need to point that out. That's the biggest intelligence failure that we ever had. The problem with the National Security Agency, instead of really targeting the real threats, and they are targeting the real threats, they're also targeting the entire population of the United States. I don't think many Americans want to detonate a nuclear weapon in the United States. You see, most of our enemies, not all, but most of our enemies are external. And they're not just Russia, they're also terrorists throughout the world. Now, if they were going to actually detonate a nuclear weapon, they're going to come into the United States. I mean, that's the top scenario. But let me link it to this airline. We've had a lot of speculation. I'm really sick of the Malaysian story keep going on and on. But one of the theories, not a theory that I believe in, but one of the theories was they were trying to capture this airline and use it as a delivery system for a bomb. You know, repaint it and somehow get it across into the United States or some other country that the United States is allied with, and put a nuclear device in it, and then fly it into the United States and explode it there. I don't give much, if any, credence to that scenario, but that was the speculation. That's the, call it conspiracy theories, call it the best way to say it, it's the low probability. Is it a possibility? Of course it's a possibility, but that's not the key thing. It's the probability attached to that, and you need to multiply that probability by the consequences. I think that airliner is crashed into the sea or into the jungle. There was some kind of accident, such as a slow decompression. You know, one theory is they had a slow decompression of the cabin, and as a result, everyone aboard went to sleep and eventually died, and the plane continued flying because it was on autopilot. When it ran out of fuel, it crashed into the sea. Something like that is probably what happened. I have no idea, but I think all those people are dead, unfortunately. But apparently what the president went to Europe on is one of the things on the agenda was to play the loose nuke. That's what they call it, the loose nuke war game with one nuclear weapon. And he was asked questions about this not specifically this, but he was asked, he had a press conference afterwards, and he said one of his concerns besides Russia, and a more important priority concern, is a terrorist releasing a nuclear weapon on New York City. Yeah, it's a concern, Mr. President, but I think you should be more concerned about someone detonating a nuclear weapon in Washington, D.C., when you're there, not when you're visiting in Europe. That is, a slightly higher probability. Now, the terrorists are going to, if they're planning this, and I think some of them are, they're going to try to see which is the easiest. And that means everyone needs to worry, especially if you're in Dallas-Fort Worth, because guess what? That is one city that doesn't have the high security that you have, for example, in Washington, D.C. or New York City. But there are other major cities across the United States. I think what's more likely, they will take out, if there is an attack, they would take out a city either on the east or west coast. But I wouldn't rule out Texas for the simple reason they might smuggle such a weapon over the Texas border. That's why the border needs to be secured. I'm not going to go on immigration. This is not what this show today is about. But I don't think this is something that should be discussed in public. The fact that it was on his mind, and when he responded to a question from a reporter that he knew, one of the White House correspondents, he gave an answer. Whether one of his in other words, Russia, why a concern is not his number one concern. It's really terrorists detonating a loose nuke. My problem with all this is something that a president of the United States simply should not talk about. And if they want to do this kind of scenario exercise, you don't spring it on the national leaders of other governments. I don't think someone on his staff, and I think I might even know who, there was a lady called Elizabeth Sherwood Randall, and I put a video just so you can see, is one of these Atlanticist summits that they have. And she apparently is one of the senior advisors in terms of both Western Europe, Russia, and the Ukraine. I don't know if it's her idea. I want to be fair here. But it was somebody's idea, and Obama thought it was a great idea. Now, if this was being used to somehow intimidate Putin, which I think there's more than a likelihood that that's what they were doing, I don't think Putin is shaking in his boots. Not at all. Because you see, you can talk tough in public, but when you don't follow up, you eventually lose credibility. You lose credibility. And our president, unfortunately, has a history of being a pathological liar and lying to the American people to the point that the vast majority of American people, simply do not believe what he says. They don't trust him. It comes right down to that. It's the same thing when in Syria, he drew red line after red line after red line and then did nothing. Now, I'm not for him drawing red lines. I thought it was a bad idea, and I wrote about it at the time. And this was one article that didn't get in the paper. And that's another story. I'm not going to bring that up. But my point is, we were on the verge of a war in the Middle East. The problem is Russia, China, and Iran are closely aligned and are big supporters of Syria. You see, there's no winning side in Syria. And this gets back to the overriding theme in my problem. You have people in the federal government of both political parties, Democrat and Republican, that are statists. They believe in big government. I call them the bigs, the big interventionist government statists. Some want to intervene in the economy. Some want to intervene abroad. Some want to do both. The days of empire, I thought, were over, but apparently are not. I read an interesting book, rather timely book, Lawrence in Arabia, not of Arabia. The book is entitled, and it's I would highly recommend reading this book because it has a lot of relevance to what's happened in the Middle East since World War I up to today. And it's about Lawrence of Arabia, namely Edward Thomas Lawrence, who was a young man, a very bright young man, rather short, about 5'5", had no military training. However, he did speak Arabic and got close to Faisal in what's now Saudi Arabia. And he was successful in attacking Aqaba, which is on the a port off the Red Sea. I'm not going to go over that, but I want to link it to why I think it's important. Prior to World War I, what were the empires? The United Kingdom by far had the number one empire. France, Germany, the Austro-Hungary Empire, the Ottoman Empire, and the Russian Empire. What happened as a result of World War I, where over 20 million people were killed and many more were casualties? The most bloodiest war that we have ever had. The Ottoman Empire fell. The Russian Empire fell as a result of the Bolsheviks taking over in Russia. The Austrian-Hungary Empire fell, as well as the German Empire. Who was left? The United Kingdom and France and a new empire. And that new empire was the United States. Because of the double cross of the Arabs, we've had nothing but problems in the Middle East. And what were the French and the British doing during this time? They were saying one thing to the Arabs, why they were busy dividing up the Middle East. The French wanted Syria. The British wanted Iraq as well as control over Egypt. And they also were concerned about oil because there were, and we had exactly one intelligence agent, a guy named Yale, where his ancestors actually founded Yale, and he had worked for an oil company. However, because you can't really drill oil when there's a war going on, he ultimately was hired on at the State Department, in essence as a spy, to spy on both the British, the French, and the Arabs to see what was happening. There was a lot of double dealing. But the problem is the deals that were struck ultimately resulted in the conflicts that we have today. Empires rise and fall. Today, the number one empire is the United States. We have the capability of projecting power anywhere in the world. The problem is that's expensive. It is very expensive, both in blood, because that means your sons and daughters are dying in those lands, as well as treasure or dollars to fight these wars. And it's never ending. You see, I'm not an interventionist. I don't think we can make the world safe for democracy. I don't think we can build nations. I think it's rather presumptuous. And I frankly am not for intervention, whether it's in the U.S. domestic economy or, for that matter, abroad. Because what ultimately happens? You have massive debt and the country becomes bankrupt. The American people today are sick of war. They want all the troops brought home. They don't want another war, nuclear or any other type. They've had it up to here. You have people that are elite that think they know best. They think that they're very intelligent, very bright, first one to say that. They've gone to some of the best schools. Many of them have PhDs, and they're academics. And then they get a job in an administration, and before you know it, you have a president playing war games in Europe with the current leaders of those nations. I don't think it was the time nor the place to do that. If you want to do that, you don't make it public. You do that in private, and it's arranged in advance. I'm not saying it's not a bad idea, because there are lessons to be learned, and you should plan ahead. You definitely should plan ahead. But you don't casually mention this as a result of a question asked at a press conference. You knew it was on his mind. It was only a matter of time before it was leaked out, either intentionally or inadvertently. And I still suspect that this was done just to rattle Putin's cage, if you will. This is a dangerous game. And I think at least some of the leaders knew it was a dangerous game that shouldn't have been. It was inappropriate. But they played that scenario. I hope they've learned something. And one is where you play these games, and you don't do it at summits where the news media is obviously going to be not only of the United States news media, but media across Europe and other nations are going to be in attendance. He flew there for one day. One day and is flying back. And part of that day was playing a game, the loose nuke war game, where the scenario was one nuclear weapon of I assume it was 10 kilotons, which is doable. That's what's scary. This is doable. It can be put in a van. Now, we've taken certain measures in certain cities, namely Washington, D.C. and New York, to prevent it. But, Mr. President, we have over 30 cities and metropolitan areas where if the terrorists assume New York City and Washington is just too difficult, they will go, including Seattle, including San Francisco, including Los Angeles, Phoenix, Las Vegas, Denver, Chicago, Boston, Philadelphia. Do I need a Miami? And see, this is the point that needs to be made. The terrorists, they only need to find one area where you haven't protected your weakness. You and the United States government has to protect the entire United States. Even that said, to have the greatest impact, I still think Washington, D.C. and New York City are number one and two, respectively. That's why On 9/11, they went after both the Twin Towers in New York City, the Pentagon, and the plane that didn't make it was either going to the Capitol building or the White House. That is a terrorist attack on the cheap by infiltrating people into the United States, and the majority of them came from where? Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia. That's why I think it's, I strongly recommend you read that book, and it's an excellent read, Lawrence in Arabia. And the games, the sheer nonsense that they were playing, and thousands, tens of thousands of people got killed. And meanwhile, in the Western Front, millions were being killed. As Lawrence of Arabia said, I was involved with a sideshow of a sideshow. That said, millions died, and millions continue to die up to today in the Middle East. The French wanted Syria. What's happening in Syria today? A civil war, a bloody civil war. And the major powers today are on both sides are involved with it. The United States, Russia, China are just three, and the United Kingdom and Iran. Nuclear weapons need to be taken seriously. Sanctions simply take too long. They work in the sense that they really punish not the government, they punish the people of that nation. And you don't telegraph what you're going to do. We have a president that likes to talk. Talk, 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 talk. Talk is cheap. On this national stage, action and results count. But action and results have consequences, both short-term, intermediate, and long-term. We're talking war here. We're talking tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands or millions of lives. This is something that needs to be taken seriously, not shooting your mouth off. And that's the problem, especially when you shoot your mouth off and most of the time you're lying. People don't trust what you say. They don't believe what you say. In other words, Mr. President, you have an integrity problem and you have a credibility problem with the American people as well as other national leaders. And to fly off to Europe to play this type of war game is totally inappropriate as far as I'm concerned. And I hope it gets a lot more publicity. With that, you have been listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. Thank you for listening, and now back to the music.